Okay, well, last week, you know, we started a discussion that was, again, started out of our lit group, young adults, and about affiliations with Masonic and fraternal organization. And, you know, the thrust of what we was trying to get across is that after the discussion, we wanted people to kind of take a look. If you're in an organization like that, take a look at some of the things that you're committing to, the vows you're taking, the oath you're swearing to, and see if they conflict with the Word of God at all. And last week, we kind of glossed over scriptures. We didn't talk about much scripture. So tonight, I'm going to share some scripture with you, then I'll turn over the wheel. But I probably got more than I'm going to get to, but I'm not going to try to do an in-depth study on the scripture. Just want to point out some things and draw a connection to what we've been talking about. And then, you know, let you decide if you feel like what you're in or what you're doing conflict with your Christian values. And again, this is an individual challenge, not to the whole group. Everybody ain't going to see this the same. This is something that has been discussed, disagreed on for years. And so the intent is not to do that, just to share some scripture with you and then some other things that you already learned from last week. I did get an opportunity to go out online, and then I got sent to me some information about a couple of fraternities and looked at them. And after I read the whole package, you know, from start to finish, I highlighted some things in there that I thought if I was in that organization, not knowing what I know, that would be troubling to me. And so I kind of highlighted them, gave them back, and you know, people can do what they want with them. But the intent is to say, okay, there are certain things that say you just need to ask the question, what does this really mean? What were they thinking about when they wrote this? And is that consistent with what we believe as Christians? And so that's the challenge that we have faith in us tonight, is where do our Christian values line up and the Word of God line up with what is being presented in any organization? And so tonight I want to just start out with some scriptures that God gave the people, and he gave them for a reason, commandments, and then we'll look at some of the things he said in Deuteronomy, and then we'll move on to a couple of passages in the New Testament. Then I'll turn some things, turn it over to Will to kind of wrap up the discussion this evening. But first of all, and please mark your Bibles or go to these, write them down, go back and look at them for yourself, and let the Lord speak to you concerning these things. But you kind of got to do an in-depth study and at least ask some questions about the passage of Scripture to get a better feel for the magnitude of what the Word of God is saying. So if you go to Exodus chapter 20, and I read 1 through 4, this is where God gave the commandments to his covenant community. And in this, we can see that, man, God was really serious about who they worshiped. I mean, he was concerned that they didn't just worship any other gods. And so what we got to do, so we look at this, we got to ask ourselves some questions. When he says this, he says in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1 says, then God gave the people all these instructions. He says, I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. That's important. When you get in your own private time, go back and look up Egyptian gods. Just ask yourself, just look up Egyptian gods. You'll find out there's over 2,000 Egyptian gods out there. And a lot of these gods that these people were under the influence of, because they were in slavery for so long, so therefore they became accustomed, they became aware of a lot of these Egyptian gods. Some of the Egyptian gods is Isis, Osiris, Hormuz, Ra, which is the sun god, and the list goes on. I just kind of get some of the ones that you see a lot, but it's important for you, when you look at this scripture, you got to go a little bit deeper than what we're just reading here. So you must, he says now, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt is a place where a lot of idolatry took place because they was under influence, and Canaan is another place. Because later on, he's going to tell them, when you go into the land, I'll read that to you, into the land of Canaan, don't get caught up with their gods. So during that time, it was common for a lot of nations to be polytheistic, worshiping many gods, gods for this, God for that, and therefore being under that influence mean that those gods were put on the same level as God, the Almighty God. So he says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. Period. Dot. Com. But me. That's why he could say later, I'm a jealous God. I don't want no competition. I don't want nothing that's going to take your loyalty away from me. And that's some of the questions we have to ask ourselves. Where do our loyalty line up sometimes? Are we more loyal to the organization that we're in than to God? If God make a demand for some of our time, can he get it? Or does the organization make that same demand? Who going to get the time? Just think about it. He says, now, you must not make for yourself any idols of any kind or an image of anything in heaven. So in other words, stars, constellation, things up there should not be worshipped. Or on earth, no statues, no mountains, no monuments, anything on the earth should not be worshipped. Or in the sea. So God said, hey, these people obviously have gods associated with all those areas. And so he said, now just because they have gods associated with those areas, you know that, but you can't worship those gods. That's why in the Greek culture, they got gods for almost everything, like the Egyptians. And those gods represent certain things. And that's why a lot of times, just like I said to you about the Egyptian culture, you can do the same thing. Ask Siri to show you Greek God. They'll list all 25 or 30 of them. Ask them to show you Roman gods. They'll list them. Ask them to show you the Canaanite gods. And then once you do that and you see that, then you'll get a better appreciation why God was so concerned about his people and who they was going to be influenced by. Does that make any sense to anybody? So now this is what God told Moses in Exodus. Then he comes back in Deuteronomy and start talking to them about when they go into the promised land. And this I thought was interesting. If you got a question, please note it, ask, and then we'll try to deal with it. But again, like I said, I didn't want to make this an in-depth thing because some of this is pretty straightforward. You don't really need a theology class to understand some of this. I mean, we can try to be deep and all that, but some of this is just plain old straight in your face. Amen? Now look at this. This is what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 29 to 32. He says, when the Lord your God goes ahead of you and destroy the nations and you drive them out and live in their land, do not fall into the trap. Somebody say trap. I believe the church done fell into a lot of traps today. And we don't know how we got into some of these traps because we can go to church and still be illiterate when it comes to what the Bible say. And I think sometimes that spiritual illiteracy can cause us to fall into traps and we just don't know it. Because if it was obvious, we wouldn't fall in. You know, a trap is not designed for you to know it's a trap. It looks like something else. And then all of a sudden, now you're ensnared with it. So he says, do not fall into the trap of following their customs. What are some of the customs that you follow when you join your organization? And worshiping their gods, little G-O-D-S. I found that in some of the writings of the sorority fraternities that I read about. That little G-O-D-S, that was troubling to me. To find out that, you know, there's a God that we worship with the little G-O-D-S, which means more than one God. So the question got to be, who are these little G-O-D's we talking about? Who are they? And I would use, based upon my understanding of how to dissect scripture, based upon the culture that we was talking about, Greek culture, and based on the fact that I know they had multiple gods, and I'm talking about a Greek organization, it's a chance that those little G-O-D's are Greek God. Can't prove it. I wouldn't try, but the fact that it ain't a capital G-O-D without an S on it, let me know that they're looking at more than one God. So it said, worshiping their gods. Do not inquire. Don't even inquire about their gods. Saying, how do these nations worship their gods? Who cares? I don't want to know what they do in other nations, how they worship their God. I don't care how they worship the God of the Hindu, the Hindu. I don't care. I'm not going to even inquire. And if I do inquire, somebody bring an inquiry to me, then I'm going to be ready to defend what I believe. But I'm not going to go out and look and say, I want to study and see what they believe. Unless they come to me and want to debate that, then let's do it. But that ain't something I wake up in the morning and say, let me go and check and see what the Hindus think. What this group think. What that group think. No. If they don't start with Jesus, so that's simple for me. But it's not as simple like that for everybody else. There are a lot of people who have to struggle with that. So he's saying, now look, don't even inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations worship their gods? I want you to follow their example. He said, now look, you must not worship the Lord your God the way the other nation worship their God. For they perform for their gods detestable acts that the Lord hates. Well, all you got to do is go and look at what the Canaanites did in their worship. They give us one clue right here. They even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their God. So they practice infant and baby sacrifice. But when I looked deeper in that and went and did my own research, man, it was a whole lot more that they did too. That he said, man, y'all can't practice this sexual immorality because them guys practice homosexuality. They practice bestiality. They mess around with animals. So what I'm trying to tell you, when we read this, he said, now the reason that God say you can't mess around with these folks' gods, because you don't know what those gods require of those people. And it will require of you. And so he said, now they even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods. I don't think any of us in any group today that require you to sacrifice your children. But when you start looking at some of the other things that may go on in some of these old days, and even in the church. So when I start talking about sexual immorality, it ain't just in the Greek letter organization, it's in the church. So if it's wrong in the Greek organization, it's wrong in the church. No Christian should be out there sleeping with no dog. Somebody should have said amen right there. Now, don't scare me like that. I mean, you know, you ain't got no business, you and Fifi. No, that ain't what God called for. You can love Fifi, but no. And so he says that they even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods, G-O-D-S, little g. So be careful to obey all the commands I give you. You must not add anything to them or subtract anything from them. The problem is we want to add and subtract from the Bible. We add stuff that's not there, and then we subtract the things that we don't like. Or we act like it's not there and pretend like it don't pertain to us because we don't agree with it. And so if we're going to be loyal to God, we have to agree with what the words say, even though in our flesh we may want to argue with God. But in the spirit, we got to say, God is right on this one. I don't need to argue with God on this one. He is right on this one. Now, behind me, I put up, where that marker, put that sign back up there. Okay, you're going to put it up. Yeah, I added that other one right there. Because I see that little symbol a lot. Now, when it was first created, it was a pentagram that was stood up with the point, one point on the top. And some people say that early on, it even was a part of Christianity when it was straight up, not with the two little horns sticking up. But later on, the church got away from that way back when and turned to the cross, and the cross became the symbol. Those five points supposed to represent the spirit, air, earth, kind of like y'all remember when the elements came out. Everybody know who the elements are? Yeah, earth, wind, and yeah. They was telling them Egyptian gods. But they were good. I mean, at that time, it didn't make me no difference, you know, because reasons made sense to me. I still can, you know, I can still feel a little something when reasons play. I don't even think about no Egyptian god because the reason that we're here, the reason, yeah, just won't disappear. I mean, it just makes sense. But they name earth, wind, and fire. They probably, I mean, they was worshiping on God, but they got that from Egyptian teaching. So that little thing, they flipped it around and put the two points up on the top. Now that symbol was registered as Satan's worship symbol. They have registered that, it's trademarked, and anytime you see somebody using that, chances are they worship the devil. Upside down pentagram with the little goat head in there, that's a bad sign. Your children come home with that on their clothes, you need to check out where they get it from. Because symbols mean something. Amen. Symbols mean something. And so what God is telling us, man, you got to be careful when it comes to mixing and mingling other things that could potentially become more important to you than him. So now look. So he told them to be careful, to obey his command. Psalms 119, 105 is a passage that is good for us to understand that the word says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to guide my path. We get guidance, direction, and wisdom and knowledge from God's word. And when the things that we learn from other sources clash with God's word, then we got to make sure that we're prepared to let God's word win the day. I mean, the word of God got to be the priority. That's what I trust for wisdom. I don't need light from nowhere else. I can get light, wisdom, and knowledge from God's word. And so a lot of times when we join an organization, one of the things is that you're being enlightened to something. And that's a terminology that's used in most of. And when I was traveling as a Mason, it was all about being enlightened. You're learning some new knowledge that everybody else don't know. And that was okay, like I say. I didn't know the light then. But now that I know the light, I don't need that light. Because it's for me, this is just for Pastor Bowling, it's a conflict. Now, it may not be for everybody, but for me, it's a conflict. Because I got a word that can light my path, guide my feet, and do all those things that I need to do to serve God in earth. And if I'm looking for community, if I'm in a good church, I can get that there. Amen. If I'm just looking for fellowship with some like-minded folk, I'm supposed to find that in the church. I shouldn't have to go and join another organization if I'm a Christian to find what I should find in the... Let me give you another scripture. This is one that we all know, and this is where we got to ask the question. Right now, my question is very simple, kind of like Jesus was teaching in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. You know, when you join the organization, are you going to be salt and light and influence the organization, or you gonna just blend in and go with the flow of the organization? When you find out that some of the things they're doing is wrong, are you gonna stand up and say, no, Doc, that just don't work. That don't work for me. Somebody gotta stand up and say, beating brothers down don't work for me. We ain't gonna jump you to get in. If you wanna raise your hand and say you love the organization, but we ain't gonna beat you down to join us. You our brother. But if Christians in there don't stand up and say, hey, man, there's nowhere in the Bible where Jesus beat up his disciple for them to join the club. So for me to beat you down is not right. Now, you may want to stay in the organization, just don't take part in the beating. Because now once you start beating them, you ain't going to have no credibility to go back and try to correct. I know it's going to be tough right here. So we got to ask ourselves, am I the salt and am I light? Am I going to have some influence on the organization, or is the organization going to influence me and cause me to dim my light because I've joined an organization that don't necessarily agree with the word? So that's where you have to make that personal evaluation of your own life and answer that question for yourself, because Jesus said this. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses flavor? If you join an organization and all of a sudden now your flavor ain't salty no more, and everybody just suck it up on you, chances are you done lost your salt. Especially if they ain't saved. Dog, I know it's going to be tough. The Lord, I don't even know why I said that. But most time we join an organization with unsaved folk. And so therefore, when you join an organization with unsaved folk, you got to make sure that your salvation is stronger than their lack of salvation. Because if not, they're going to have you doing some unsaved things. Okay. You're the salt, Brother Major.
But wouldn't it be fair to say, when you join an organization, you aren't saved either? You know what I'm saying? So most people, I can't say most people, I would think that you join the organization just to be joining an organization. So you weren't necessarily joining it to worship a God. You were joining an organization to fit in, and you probably weren't saved either. Just to say, when you joined the Masons.
No, I wasn't. And so you're exactly right. So my motivation for joining the Masons had nothing to do with Jesus, the Word of God, anything like that. Because I wasn't deep in the Word of God. I wasn't studying the Word of God. I was just barely going to Sunday school. So anything they said to me sounded good. Because I didn't have nothing to bounce it off of. I didn't have the light. There was a light unto my path and a guide, that word. I did not have that at the time. When I got that, that's when I started asking questions. What does that G up there stand for, and what does it represent? What does that all-seeing eye represent? Who is the God? Well, that's the grand architect of the universe. Okay, who is that? Well, we don't specifically say a God, because Masons can be from any faith. So you don't have to be a Christian to be a Mason. That's when I said, okay, I didn't know that, because when I joined, I thought I was joining a Christian organization. So now I started digging and digging and digging, and when I started digging and found that it clashed with the word, I had to give it up. That was my choice.
So the question would be, so after you come into the knowledge of the Bible or the light, should you stay in that organization? Should you stay in the organization, or just don't do the things that would go against what it says in the Bible? But does that require you leaving the organization?
It depends on you. I mean, I think it depends on the individual. If the individual know that, hey, look, I know what the Bible says about certain things, and whatever lines up with the word, that's what I'm going to be trying to display and put on or bring into the organization. I know that God got a problem with us making a brother drink so much alcohol that he get alcohol poisoning. So if I'm in that organization, even though I like the organization, I like what we do in the community, I like going to the hospital, I like all the stuff we do, I'm going to say, hey, we got to stop that. We can't get a brother drunk just to be in this organization, because drunkenness is a sin.
Right.
And I ain't going to help you participate in sin. Now, that may force them to say, hey, well, we really don't want you in this organization, because now you're trying to get us to change some of the way we do things, our practices. Well, then that's when you have to make up in your mind if what God say is more important than what their practices say.
Right.
And that's the individual choice. I'm not trying to tell anybody what decision to make. I'm just telling you that Jesus expects you to be salt and light.
That's right.
That's what he said. If you're going to go in there, you don't drop him at the door when you go across the threshold and do your ritual. When you step, do this, you don't leave Jesus.
Amen.
At the door.
Amen.
You can jump in the floor, can be open any time you want to jump in.
Because you made a comment and you said about not falling into traps, you know? Because a lot of times, and since we have a lot of island folks in here, they could contest, you know, a lot of times growing up, they would say that certain things is part of our heritage, is part of our culture. But like I said last week, if we look at the carnival, you know, and the people dancing and how the women are dressed and stuff like that, even yourself, when you read the scripture and it talks about preparing folks for sacrifice, if we read in the Chronicles, it talks about how these rulers sacrificed their own kids and they dressed them up. The same thing when these folks in the carnival participating, we looking at the outfit like, oh, they got on good costumes and stuff like that, but they didn't even realize that they was preparing themselves to be sacrificed. If you look at the Mayans and the rest of them, when they did the sacrifice, they dress up the individuals and they might throw them into their volcano guard or whatever it is, where they were preparing them for sacrifice. So we have to be real careful that certain things we say that is part of our culture, or part of our heritage, but as you go and you find out this knowledge, are you gonna still hold on to that? When truth tell your stuff that this is not truth, are you gonna hold on to it, or are you gonna let it go? So I just wanted to share that since you was talking about traps, and you know, because that's one of the things how you see a whole lot of people, some folks go back down to the islands just to take part of that, not realizing that that's a trap. I don't care how you spin it, how you put it, it's a trap. Because if you go back to the origin of it, they was preparing themselves for sacrifice.
Amen. Okay. But now, and I'm not from the islands, so I can't speak, but Wayne, I'm going to trust that. You know, you from there, you know how the islands work. And I will say that I was down in Antigua this last summer, and Carnival was kicking. And they were sure dressed. Yes, sir, buddy. They had on some costumes that you weren't saved, boy. You weren't supposed to be there. I'm serious. But it was all, it made it look like fun, but I had no clue. I thought it was just a cultural thing. I didn't know it had some other connotation. Okay, this is what they do, and it's a big deal, and everybody come from everywhere. And I mean, it was like, yeah, I don't know what to compare it to. It was so crowded. It was like room to room. I mean, you just couldn't move down there. So one night was enough for me. I didn't. They did it for about a month, I think, a whole week. I know it's no more than one day, but one night was enough for me. I saw enough.
So had you known what those costumes mean?
Get a mic.
Had you known what those costumes meant? The culture behind it and all those different things. Would you have not went because of that, or would you have went just to enjoy the carnival itself? You're not going there to get deep into the, you know what I mean? I mean, because there's a
you
lot
know,
of things that.
That's a good one. Yeah. I, right now, honestly, right here, if I had known that, I would think that, okay, I could go there and it would not have a stronghold on me. Right. I was a guest in that country. People say, hey, man, come go here with me, right. You know, son-in-law.
You don't know.
Hey, this be, but I don't know. You know, but I don't. I think I probably would have, just out of being that I'm strong enough. It ain't gonna make me want to go and jump in the carnival thing. But again, I don't know.
I guess a better question is,
brother, we'll get a mic.
Would it have affected you either way? So you knew the backstory of it, and you went. Would it have affected you? Or would you just say, okay, this is a carnival, I'm here. It's not affecting me one way or the other, what I know about it or what I don't know about, the costumes. It wouldn't have affected you, would it? Do you think it would have?
Not my spiritual walk with Jesus. That wouldn't have an impact on me, not one bit at all. I wouldn't have felt like, hey, I need to go back to the world and start coming to this thing every year and stuff, and that'd be a part of it. That, you know, whether it's in Brazil or wherever they have carnival. No, it wouldn't affect me like that. But Brother Mike?
Yes, Pastor. A while ago you spoke about organization. I think we have to be a little more explicit for those who don't understand sometimes. Because sometimes you can be in different organization, but if the organization deals with evil or something, evil spirit that doesn't deal with the word of God, or something that can put you off track with God, we have to be clear as to what organization we're talking about and make it plain. Because just like you talk about the Freemasons, I happen to know quite a bit about them because studying the encyclopedia concerning Freemasons, where they started and how they started. And then we knew they were the Templars, and before the Freemasons came out, the Templars were the evil group, and they were from, they got things from the Solomon Temple when it got ruined in the 12th century, and they were a military group, and they were helping Christians cross over. But in the 13th century, King Philip of France, when they were in France, went to the Pope, and that Pope Clement the Fifth, declared them evil. That's the Templars. Now the Freemasons was not on the site yet. They were first known as the Freemasons were known as the Stonemasons. They were not an evil group yet. But in the 17th century, they more or less joined with the Freemasons. More or less, most of the people from the Templars joined them. But King Philip declared them evil on the 13th century, and that was on a Friday. They call it Friday the 13th. That's why Friday the 13th become an evil day. So, because they declare war on them and kill the master, the chief master of the Templars was killed because of King Philip. And then he cursed King Philip. And so King Philip died a few months later. But the Pope, he didn't curse. So all these things happened, and in the 17th century, then the Freemasons joined them, and most of them, because they deteriorate, and that's how they end up in the United States, came out from France, and helped Franklin Benjamin and a lot of them join up and all things like that. So the Pope declared them evil and tell all Roman Catholics to stay away from that. So this is how we know certain things about, and this is history. This is not something that hiding out of the bushes and all that. So if somebody involved in something like that, when you, which God you're going to serve? You can't serve two masters, the Bible said. You either love one, hold to one, and hate the other. You're going to make a choice. And that's why we have to be clear to be fair, everyone.
Okay. Good comment. Brother Herb.
Just given my experience dealing with a fraternity. In my youth, in my growing up, in a sense, I didn't grow up to a point knowing anything about God. I didn't have God with me. And so I'm living in a sense of in the United States, in the area I live in, so I'm living with a culture that I'm brought into. And since I was ignorant without knowing God and being with God, so I was very attracted to a fraternity. And that's culture. This, you know, fraternity is a culture. And so I was attracted to that, and I commit myself to join until I found out what they was all about, and I go, oh my goodness, this I do not need. I don't need this. This is not going to give me what I was looking for and what they represent. So I quit. I didn't go there. And matter of fact, even my father was a Mason, and I was not attracted to a Mason. But what I'm trying to say is that once I have got saved, and then I understand to a point where now I know now I'm walking with God and understand what it is of my walk, I didn't need the other things now to what I was attracted to the culture.
Okay.
And then my point is coming down to where now how to look at the other things of culture, or such things as that, this is me, like you said, this is me. Now, I take it in the same emphasis of studying what Paul did. And Paul, in Acts 17, when he was there, he saw Athens. He saw all the Greek, all the gods and all these idols that they was worshiping. He observed them. And as he observed them, he was able to speak upon them. about the unknown God. So my emphasis now understanding to a point where there's nothing wrong to understand what the culture is, but don't possess it. Don't let it overtake you. And so that will give you to a point where you say, you go to another place, whatever, there's nothing wrong to observe the culture, but then now you're in a position to be able to speak upon that as what he's calling us to be able to spread the gospel. And that's what Paul did. And so now I would say to myself, for my responsibility, in a sense, for disciple my children to understand they don't have to get caught of the culture of the world and guide them and lead them to be able to follow with God.
Okay.
So that's me. That's my world now. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that's a good point. And I hope that everybody that's in this online or in the house, wherever, come to your own conclusion. I ain't telling everybody to do what Larry Bolden did. But after I came into the knowledge of the truth, as I understood it, I knew that I could no longer go that route. And if I didn't have the ability to change some of the things they were going to do in there, culture-wise in there, then I knew it was going to be a losing battle. Because I was just a little third degree. I wasn't even a wishful master of the Lord. So I had no say-so what they could do and not do. I would have been tough. I had to go up the ladder a little bit before I can get up there and say, we're going to change the way we enter. We ain't going to do this. We ain't going to. But you know, if I had stayed in there and learned what I learned, and if I had loved it that much, then, yeah, I probably would have tried to follow the truth of God's word, amen, you know, in the organization and make an impact. Because Jesus is clear here. And y'all know this scripture. But and so this is my thing. My challenge is if you're in it, be salt and light. Be what God, look, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses flavor? When you go in the group, if you lose your flavor, they don't even know who you are, who you represent, what good are you to God?
That's right.
Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled under feet as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hid. When you go in that organization and you shrink back and you become invisible, then that organization overrides your faith in the Lord. If you don't want to let your light shine, you don't represent the Lord in that organization, then I think you're going to have a compromising situation there. Then he says, no one lights a lamp and then put it on the basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives off light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And that could be a testimony that you can affect change in some of those organizations, especially when you know some of the things they're doing are inhumane and wrong. I mean, you can affect that change. Now, in Matthew 10, I just want to read this to show you that this is the lawyer to test here. If Jesus would tell you he wants you to value him more than father and mother, then surely, you know, Delta, 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 Alpha, 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 Zeta, 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 whatever, 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 can't be on the same plateau. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So I think that you got to really check where your loyalty lie at when you join. Being there, but your loyalty to the Lord got to outweigh your loyalty to any organization that you're in.
Amen.
Got a good question. Yeah, get a mic. Yes, sir. You want to come on? There you go.
Cool, cool. So kind of on a little bit of a lighter note, it was funny, earlier, I'm sure if it was this week or last week, I had kind of this kind of running joke that I had with my family. I was like, I think I was indoctrinated as a Cowboys fan because, like, I remember like my baby pictures, I'm in Cowboys gear. So I'm like, all these years, I've just been indoctrinated as a Cowboys fan. I never really got a chance to choose what team I, you know, could root for. And then, I was having conversations with my dad. I'm like, yeah, I kind of blame you because, you know, you put me on this Cowboys gear. You know, I got my Troy Aikman jersey and my, you know, Emmitt Smith jersey and all this stuff. I'm like, you know, what's going on? Like, and so he was like, no, actually, you know what? I think it was my dad that did that because, you know, I was also didn't have a choice as well because, you know, they grew up in D.C. And he's like, yeah, we're supposed to be Redskins fans. But the thing is kind of bringing that up just to say, you know, there also could be a thing in regards to this conversation about indoctrination, right? Where, you know, going back to the conversation about culture, right? Whatever culture we grow up in, there could be with these things where we can be not noticed that we've been indoctrinated into these things, and we have to come within the knowledge and understand that these things that we've been indoctrinated into could be bad for us, as far as especially for following Jesus.
Amen.
So I say that to say, you know, I know some people from my college who are friends of mine who, you know, their people, you know, their fathers and whatnot, they were already into, you know, the different organizations, you know, and so I already kind of seen where that was going to go. Because of the whole thing with the culture of like, hey, you know, if your son is, you know, coming up in college and whatnot, and, you know, you're already part of the organization, you know, you'll say, hey, you know, why don't you, of course it'll still be their choice, but it's kind of a thing where it's like, hey, you know, why not, you know? So I think that, you know, we could, you know, I think another part of the conversation could be, you know, as far as like the passing down of generations,
yeah,
what are some of these things that, you know, we're indoctrinating, you know, without knowing, you know, our, you know, children into, or just like, just going through life in general with like the culture and experiencing that within our own life experiences, what are we being indoctrinated into? And how do we allow God to bring us out of that if it's bad and it's not allowing us to follow Jesus, so.
Amen. Good point. And you're right. We're being indoctrinated in a lot of ways. Like I say, some by on purpose and some things we just do out of habit, and our kids see us doing it. And they think, therefore, because dad was placed in college, I'm going to college, and I'm going to be in the same one he's in because maybe I get a free pass. I get automatic admission. You know, my dad was in, so I can come in and wave my dad card, and I automatically get an invite in without even having the brother come and check me out. I get a pass because dad was in. Now, I don't know if it worked like that, but yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure you got to have some benefits of having your dad in the organization. You know, you figure if you're a decent dude, yeah. But I don't know. I can't speak for the organization. But one of the things that most of the organization catch flack for is their secrecy. And because there are certain things they vow to keep secret. And so Jesus was accused of keeping secrets because they tried to portray him as a cult leader.
That's right.
And because they tried to portray him as a cult leader, they thought he was teaching his disciples some things in secret that everybody else didn't have knowledge to. I know that there are a lot of things that we did in the lodge that we told that is a secret. You can't talk about this, you can't share with nobody. And all the little oaths that I done read this week from the different organizations, they all got certain parts in there. Even though you can go online and get them, there are certain things in that is blanked out that you know that, hey, you don't know the code that go right there. But somebody who's in the organization know what goes in that line right there of what that code is or what that thing is. And I, you know, she's talking to Finley the other day, I have a problem with the branding thing that I see in some of these things. Man, you got to be branded. Now, some people take that branding thing real serious. I mean, you know, branding was a symbol of ownership. You brand cows and you brand duck to say, I own you. So if you're going to join an organization, Pastor Bo stand here today and tell you, don't let them put the brand on you, man. Let them put the watermark on you. You can wipe it off when you get through. But man, don't mess your body up like that. I mean, if you done did, it's too late now. But you should have known better. Something in the natural mind, what I say, man, I ain't gonna let you burn me like that. But if I want to fit in so bad, then I'm willing to grit my teeth. Go ahead and do it. Give me a piece of wood to bite down on. I just don't like pain like that. So that dog wouldn't have hunted with me. That may have been the breaking point of me right there. Unless branding is optional. Now, branding optional, then yeah, I probably won't crowd. But you know, they didn't brand us in the lodge. I didn't never put no square, no compass on me. But I did go out and buy the rings. You know, right after the thing was over, I went and bought all the jewelry to go along with it. Every piece of jewelry that they be had, I bought it. You know, I don't even know what I did with this, my ring. I think I gave it to somebody. My little square and the compass ring, my little two balls and a cane, and all the other little jewelry, the little pyramid stuff. I had it all. I mean, because I wanted to shine. Because they told me I was supposed to be light. So when I walk around, the light. And so when another brother see the light and we light up each other, then we go through the ritual. Now that I see your light, you're my light, then now there's certain things we ought to know about each other, starting with the handshake, the hug, and everything else from there on. So, I had to do that. When I was see a brother like, oh, light, okay, let's grip it up, bro.
I got a question, Pastor. So you talk about the light, right? Now, what if you found out that the light that you thought was true light is not the real light? Do you still hold on to that false light because you invested so much, or you let that go?
For Larry Bolden,
I
let it go. I can't answer that for nobody but myself. I let it go. The rings and all that stuff that I bought, the jewelry and all that stuff, didn't mean that much to me at all. It just meant that when I was, because during that time, I was a whole different person. I was clubbing and everywhere I went, so it was appropriate. When I went to the clubs, I had on my ring and I had on my little tie tack right there so people know who I was. And we all recognized, so we knew we ran in the same circle. And we walk up to each other, are you a traveling man? Yeah. And then from there, we just go on. I can't say too much more. They may be watching, you know. I ain't in no more. I ain't going to get away from that. I ain't in no more.
I have a question for you. Can you tell why did you let it go? Can you tell?
I think I said it last time, and I got to hurt because I said, oh, no, we'll got something. Man, the guy who got me in was a staunch Christian, man. This guy was good. He was a deacon in the church. He started me to go into Sunday school, doing all that. Me and him studied the Bible together, and we was all the way in. He was already a 32nd. I was on my way to be a 32nd because I liked him. But I went overseas, and when I went overseas, the atmosphere overseas was entirely different. It was all about the party. That's all we did. Or they wanted to go to church two times a year on certain days to show it off, you know, in the church. I could try. They let us in there, too. Gave us the first two rows on the show. Pew, I recognized all that. So it was all, I was all good with that. But then when I got to Germany and I started studying the Bible more, started going to Bible study more, the light came on to say, hey, I don't need this. I ain't paying no more dues. I ain't doing no more of this stuff. I ain't going to no more meetings. I ain't doing it. And I felt bad because he brought me in. I sent him a letter saying, hey, Alan, I want to let you know I'm out, man. I walked away from the Lord. His letter was on his way to me saying the same thing. I gave up the lodge too. And I knew right then, hey, this was a God thing. That wasn't no accident. I'm in Germany, he in Mississippi, and our letters pass each other in the mail. That's why I know I made the right decision for me. Yes, let me read on right quick. Hold on your thought, because I want to read this, because it's important I read this, because, you know, in John 18, 19 through 21, and I want to say, if some of the things that you swear to keep secret or conceal, the values of the practices, if they contradict scripture, that's problematic. That's a problem. And I realize that, you know, these organizations are not Christian organizations. They're not churches. They let you know they're not a Christian organization. But you are a Christian in the organization. And so this is what they was accusing Jesus of, being like a cult leader, because they said, look here, in John chapter 18, verse 19 through 1 said, the high priest asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching, beliefs, instruction, principles. When you join an organization, they give you doctrine. You got to understand the doctrine that you accepted. And he said that they questioned him about his doctrine. Jesus answered him and said,
I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always met, and in secret, I have said nothing. And I know if you're in the organization, you done said a lot of stuff in secret. It's up to you to find out if what did those secrets reveal or what their secrets hide. That's your call. Because I know we had a lot of things in secret when I was in the Bible. So that's on you. Then he says, and why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. So again, that's another issue that always kind of creeps itself up when it comes to organization like that, the secrecy of it, which make it seem like it's esoteric. Only a certain few people can get the knowledge. Only a certain few people can be in it. Make it a exclusive organization. Okay? But again, nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do and you don't feel like it's no conflict with your relationship with the Lord and your loyalty is still to him, hey, you know, do you. Here's another one. I'm going to read this real quick, and then I'm going to get out of the way and I'm just going to reference the other ones because they're long and I don't have time to do that, but I do want you to go back and read it. Now, this one is what Paul wrote to the Corinthian churches, 2 Corinthians. If you know anything about Corinth, man, Corinth was a city that was populated, it was wealthy, it had all the things, but it was full of idol gods. And the people coming into Christianity was coming out of idol worship. They had temple worship where they had prostitutes in the temple, you know, and had orgy in the church. So they were doing some crazy stuff. And so when Paul wrote this, he said, man, look here, when y'all get saved and now you got Jesus as your Lord, you got to separate yourself from some things. And this is the hard part when it comes to being a Christian, because we loosely define what does unequally yoked mean. And we just tie that to marriage. When it ain't got nothing to do with marriage, but it ought to work. You shouldn't be unequally yoked to somebody in marriage. You ought to check out who you're going to marry thoroughly, because you're making a vow to them for life. Amen. Amen. Too late to check them out after you took the vow. So you need to, let me read this, and I'm done. He says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? Then he hit home personal for us. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. So God said, I'm living in you. And because I'm living in you, you just can't do anything with you no more. And you got to be careful of your association, because evil association will corrupt good behavior. This is 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. He said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughter, says the Almighty. And that's a decision we have to make when we join in something. We need to do some research. Like I said, during this time, it was the Greek and Roman gods that they was dealing with. And then during that time, it was the Egyptian gods. So all you got to do is just go back and look up gods and see what they represent and who they represent. And a lot of these things have just woven into our culture. And I'm not saying we can eliminate all of them, because Finland ain't finna stop wearing Nike. You know, the Swish sign, the Nike. I mean, I wear Adidas, and I got to go check and see who created Adidas and where it came from. But I do, Nike is Greek. I mean, because it's the god that conquers, the conqueror, the warrior, the winner. So that's why they came up with that. I'm pretty sure Phil Knight, whatever his name is, when he came up there, he went and did some research. But when I buy a pair of Nikes, I ain't worshiping them. I ain't bowing down to them. They on my feet. But if I was really stuck up, I'd probably say, man, do I really want to represent Phil? But I had Nike. I just wear Adidas now. I guess I need to go and see who these clouds, what that dude was thinking about.
So, Pastor, but I know you're about
I'm joking, right?
I know you're about to transition to Will, you and him swap and all that. But I wanted to ask about, you know, I guess just a question, you know. I guess, you know, you say pastors that are in, you know, Greek organizations. We have a, you know, a handful of pastors here in Fort Walton that are, you know, in Greek organizations and whatnot, and all throughout the world, you know, you get my point.
Yeah.
And ministers and, you know, wherever other position in the church you could think of. So why do you think, especially from the pastoral position, why do you think, you know, I guess folks that are in those organizations, the Greek orgs, are allowed to, you know, lead a church or start their own church and go on about their day? You know, what is there a constitution that they have, or is that have to be voted in? What is, you know, because obviously, you know, what is your thoughts on that? You know, that kind of, because it happens all the time.
Yeah, but on the other side, friend, there are pastors who are leaving those organizations too. But a pastor who decides to stay in that organization, if that's his conviction, I ain't got no problem with that. If he feels like, hey, it ain't going to impact me serving the Lord, I got in this organization, I understand the good things that the organization does, and da-da-da-da, I don't participate in the debauchery. But now, if I'm out there, the pastor, and I'm participating in the debauchery, then, yeah, God got a problem with that. I mean, you can't go to the drunk party and get drunk, too. I mean, whether you're a Christian or not, I mean, a pastor or not, you just can't. I mean, because God said we ain't supposed to do that. He said we ain't supposed to do a lot of things. So I think that's come down to individual, because I know we got famous pastors like Jamal Bryant, Marvin Sapp, a lot of those guys in the organization. I see them flashing their signs when they're taking pictures together. If that's what they feel comfortable with and they want to do that, that's fine. I just think that sometimes people, once they come into the knowledge of the truth, don't want to accept the truth. They don't see it as truth. So if they don't see it as truth, then they're going to say, hey, I'm okay. And the church has accepted a lot of things that go against God's word because nobody want to stand up and cause a problem.
So I know you, so anyhow, you know, from my own self, this, from this past 2 weeks, I've been doing some, you know, some research into my organization, Alpha, and I even posed a question in our Think like our Reddit chat, you can say it like that. And I asked a question about, you know, because in ours it says by the gods of Alpha Phi Alpha. And I asked them, like, okay, what is that? What is you know, like you said, the little G-O-D and all that. And I asked that question. And I end up, you know, telling you and a couple of the heads up in here that they end up removing it out of there. But, you know, Janelle brought up a good point to me, you know, on the ride. It's like, why was it in the first place? You know, and so, you know, little things like that. And so I think another point that I've been, you know, doing some other research into it, you mentioned like the enlightened part, you know, I don't know about all the organizations, but, you know, in ours, we, you know, one of the things it says in there, because I sent to Will and Wayne, it said in there is about like light, says light, says Alpha, Alpha, light of the world. And I asked a question to this guy who was in the ritual committee, and I was kind of asking him, and he didn't really know the answer, but he sounded like it had something to do about Greek gods and whatnot, you know, about the Greek gods. And I was, you know, he seemed like he had to get off the phone real quick because I was about to, you know, I was gonna ask a question to him, I was like, so what does that mean? You know, and so there's a lot of different research into it. You know, I think one of the things major you were hitting on for a little minute, you know, about the debauchery and all that. You know, there are some, you know, good things that says in the ritual. You know, like for example, talks about, you know, in Ephesians. You know, now I was on 2 Corinthians, but it says, basically, it's highlighting on about, you know, there's only one Lord, one God, and that's Jesus Christ. But then it kind of switches into, you know, doing another activity. Now I'm like, man, I don't know, you know, this ain't, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know about this one, you know what I mean? And so, you know, there are some parts of it that I'm you know, for me, doing some more digging into, I'm like, you know, what's this about? And I think a lot of it comes down to, like, teaching, you know. One of the things that, for my own self, is like, you know, we kind of just went through it, you know, but you never really, that nobody ever like showed like a this is what it means, you know what I mean? Kind of like how you teach the Bible here, this is what it means, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so that's those are like a few of my comments I wanted to share before you transition with Will.
Amen. And yeah. And thank you for doing that, you know, taking a look. And I encourage all of you, you know, organization, at least know what you're part of, know what it stands for, and know the origin of what they do, and see if it does clash. Last scripture, I'm not going to read it, but y'all go and read for yourself. Ephesians 5:1-14, this is what Paul is talking about, living in the light. God brought us out of light, and some of the things he brought us out of light for now, we're supposed to expose the evil workers of darkness. And we're supposed to not be so fooled that we start making excuses for sin. You know, because we can be caught up in the organization, and that organization can be so wrapped up in us. I'm glad you're not making excuses for your organization. If you got a question about what they're doing, hey, I'm not going to make an excuse where they must have meant well back then. We don't know. No, I'm going to ask the question. Because somebody got to go back to the origin and say, where did that come from? And so read that. And then the other one, James 4:5, you know, James warns us to be careful that we don't commit spiritual adultery by being too close to the world in such a way that it makes us an enemy of God. To be so friendly with the world, the Bible says, then you could become an enemy of God. And that's what everybody got to say. Am I too friendly with this organization and going against some things that God say that now God will look at me as an enemy when Jesus died so that I would not be his enemy any longer? Just something to think about. Brother Will, I'll let you go ahead and get. Thank you all for your comments. And if you got any more, just please make them known.
Thank you, Pastor.
So, Pastor, well, either Will, because actually, Will, you can do it because you used to be in that. About when you mentioned about secrecy, you know, there's some things that, you know, Will, when you were on Eglin, that you just can't talk about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you and I have all those type of facilities that's like that. And so, for my own program that I work on, you know. Like I could say this, and that's I gotta keep that secret because that's just what it is. You know right. What I mean? But that thing the thing we're working on, it ain't no little toy. It's meant to it meant to do something.
Right.
And so that same thing with secrecy, you know what I mean? Like I get to my point, but the same thing with secrecy, should I take that into my own consideration with my own job? Because we're working on something that ain't. It ain't no little fifi, you know.
Yeah.
And so, should that be the same consideration with? Because by the end of the day, I gotta keep it a secret, because mm-hmm. that's kind of what I signed off on. You know, when I do all the little paperwork and all, you know, whatever. So, what I just want to expand on your thoughts on that. You know, I know you're not in it no more. You're doing your own thing, mm-hmm. but you get my point where I'm coming from.
Yeah. So I think you run into the situation when we talk about the secrecy, like. Actually, you give a perfect lead in, Finn, because I'm going to focus more specifically on oaths. So, like, you took an oath and a vow to say that you would not share certain things, and I did too, that we were doing for the government, right? And so no different than taking the pledge of allegiance, you took a vow to it. So you don't want to break your vow because those vows are binding, right? Like, and we're held accountable for any vow that we took, and I'm not going to go into too many scriptures, but I'll give examples of people who took vows with God and people who took vows outside of God and kind of how that is. So to answer your question, we took a vow not to say nothing, right? So I wouldn't say anything because we did make that. But feeling how I feel now about vows after this study, I'll be much more selective about the vows that I've taken, right? Because it made me think about how many vows have I taken in life. I think I said it last week. My wife, military, civil service, ministry. And like, that's about the four, right? So I would keep the vow, right? I mean, and it's illegal. You will break the laws of the land if you did share your stuff too, right? So you put yourself in a position to be chastised by the land. But we also, after I kind of talk about this, we'll see how that positioned us with God as well. So, you know, it was kind of I think I'm just a little bit loud, my bad. But I'll kind of lead in. Thank you, Pastor, because he kind of gave the perfect lead into this. So it kind of, something you said, Major, really sparked off the beginning of this. Something you said, Finn, and you as well, Brother Wayne, where Major, you asked about, well, if you go into it speaking of carnival, and I always think, I know carnival because my family's from St. Thomas, but I always think of Mardi Gras first, right? Because that's where I grew up. And then we talk about the trap behind those things. And then Finn, like you said, the concept of the oaths. So for, to answer your question, and this was a thought that God gave me for yours, Brother Mage, it's not necessarily that you would be affected by being in it. Like, you're not gonna lose your faith by being in it. It's the concept of what we're putting ourselves around. Because we far too often do not acknowledge the spiritual side, which was the trap that Brother Wayne was talking about. Like, if they're performing rituals and we're in the center of the ritual participating, we gotta be careful that we're not now a part of the ritual, right? Because the same playful nature that we may have, even though our intent is not to worship, that don't mean that we're not doing it, right? Like, our intent maybe not to make the, what are they, the Waltons who own Walmart or something like that. Our intent might not be to make them rich when we walk into Walmart, but every time we buy something, we add to their bottom line. And so we don't want to put ourselves in those positions.
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking about something else. And I think Pastor had mentioned that if he's a Christian, he can just opt to say, well, I don't do the beating, but yet and still, you still represent that organization, and you represent all of that organization. I'm not going to see him and say, oh, well, Pastor don't, because I won't know. The pastor is a part of that organization, and he's a part of all of that organization, so he don't get to choose that. Everybody don't know that he doesn't participate in the drink and all the other debauchery. They just know that he's part of a fraternity, and they associate him with that. So whether you join it to do good, if the organization has bad parts in it, then nobody understands that you're not doing the bad things because they don't know. They just see, hey, I represent, I got branded, I got a tattoo, whatever you have, and that's all they see.
And that's the perfect lead-in, right? Because like you said, we don't know, right? So again, this isn't about chastisement of anybody that's a part of an organization. The whole concept and the embodiment of what this was supposed to be when a person asked the question is what Finley went and did, right? Like, if Finley didn't make it out this parking lot last Wednesday before he started looking at information to say, okay, what am I associated with? To your point, Brother Major, like, what am I associated with? And not ironic, but God led, we just had this conversation in the barbershop. There was a huge generalization of Christians. And you know, all of y'all are never gonna do this. And I said, well, how do you say that? He's like, well, I've been to enough churches. I was like, bro, there's no way in your life you've been to enough churches to justify a generalized statement like that. And that's my brother, so I'm not trying to, like, you know, dog him or nothing like that. But that was my feeling, and I told him that. So I'm gonna come straight to you here, Brother Wayne, because I see you raising your hand, but I'm gonna read this opening scripture, and I'm gonna kind of focus here. And very popular Christ's Sermon on the Mount, and it's from Matthew chapter 5, and I'm starting at verse 33. It says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And I kind of focus there because where Pastor was with it is where I stand too, right? So I personally don't have the ability to join these groups or Greek frats or anything like that because I want to know what is, where did you originate and what are you truly dedicated to? So for instance, I know the conversation last week was we do great things in the community. A lot of people do. But what did we originate from? When I wear that Greek symbolism, that Greek, the Greek mythology behind that counts. When I consider myself an alpha and my father named himself, he said he is the alpha and the omega. Am I contradicting him when I put that on me, when I give myself that title? The only title that men share with our father is father, right? And so I gotta be careful about that. Same thing, omega, right? Like my boy Jay before he passed, he used to always kind of share with me, there's omegas and then there's omega men. And then there are two different type of factors in, or sexed, or in like sections when I say that, inside of the omegas. I didn't know that. So he used to kind of teach me about that because I didn't know. So what we want to really make sure we do is when the Lord says, when Christ said, don't take oaths, first thing we have to understand that oaths are binding. God takes them serious. So when you define an oath, kind of I defined this last week, it is a solemn promise often invoking a divine witness regarding one's future action or behavior. So now I am making a spiritual attachment to whatever I swear to do. Like, that's why I made the comment about us and like the, you know, the former job for me, your current job, Finn. Like, if I realized I was making a spiritual attachment to what I was doing, I would second guess it. And because of the nature of what I was doing, doesn't even align fully with what I believe, it would make me say, dog, man, I got to rethink that. And it was a running joke, right? Like, I worked in the armament directory, so I helped estimate missiles. Missiles kill people. That's what they are designed to do. They're not deterrents. They're meant to kill people. And so I helped the government estimate all their weapons. And so when those bombs would drop, some of my, I guess they're Christians. I don't know. Maybe they're Christians. They would call me and be like, hey, man, you know you helped them figure out how to pay for, how to kill those people that they just dropped the bombs on. How you a preacher and you do that? But at the same time, I can't like knock them about it because it was the truth. But I made a spiritual vow not to talk about the specifics of those things. And so that's the first thing that I kind of want to get across because Christ is big on that. And, you know, Brother Wayne, I know you had, and don't let me just throw you in there if that's not something you want to share right now. Were you getting ready to share something before? Oh, sure. So the second thing, oaths should not be taken casually. So I kind of went back and did some research on everyone who's taken an oath. The word oath is not bad. Rituals are not bad. We perform rituals in church, right? Communion is a ritual. Coming together on Sundays is a ritual. That's ritualistic. That's what we do. Coming together on Wednesdays is ritualistic. This is what we do. But the context of the ritual is important. That's why the Greek fraternities, sororities, Masons, pick an organization, that's where we have to be careful. Because when we participate in the rituals, to my comment to Brother Major, what are we attaching ourselves to? I shared the history last week. I won't go crazy with it, with the worship, because Pastor kind of talked about, they had multiple false deities that they served in those times between the Canaanites and the Phoenicians and all those different guys. So now, as Pastor mentioned before, when you start looking at their practices, how do they resemble a lighter version of what we see in the frats and the soros? How does that represent God in what, how does that represent their God, right? Because a lot of that stuff is toned down. Like, they might not be eating people still. They might not be, you know, killing each other or anything like that or throwing their babies in the fire. But some of the things, like when you hear about the burning sands and the crossings and the different stuff like that, you participate.
Okay. Okay, so Will, this is what I gotta say also, right? Because I got some friends that are frats and sorrows, and you know, a lot of them move up. They, to me, it's like little stepping stones to get into the bigger lodges or whatever. You know, you might have your Eastern Star, your Daughters of Zion, your, it don't matter what side you come up on, the York side, the whatever side, right? Scottish Rite. My thing is this, that, and I love my brothers and sisters, if you are in a group, right? And like you say, like Brother Finley did, I applaud you for doing a little research. I applaud you for that, man. And you see certain things that's in your wording or in the group wording or your fraught sorrow wording. If you match that up to the truth and your group stand on the truth and it is truth, you should be okay. But if you match your stuff up to the truth and the truth shows you that that's not truth you're standing on, are you willing to let it go? I think a lot of us probably invested so much that we're not willing to let it go. If we look at the passage with the rich young ruler, he said he did all these things, he knew all these things, and Jesus told him, well, go ahead and give away your sell your goods, sell all your possession. It's easy to look at him and look down on him and like, why he didn't do it? But if Jesus was to tell you know what, that don't match up with me, leave that. Can you leave it? Because you invested so much. You don't invested your kids in this thing. Can you leave it? Now, another thing real quick, I'm going to be real quick. If we look at the gospel, it's the good news. You're supposed to spread it with everybody. So I don't care if Brother Mike might be going through or whatever, and I got good news and I could give him edifying words to uplift him or whatever. It don't matter if you're a brother or not. I'm supposed to share the good news. The Bible even tells us to share the good news with our enemies. So if I got something good, I shouldn't withhold it from him just because he's not a brother or he's not in my membership. If we look at Christianity and we go back to the foundation, the chief cornerstone is who? Jesus Christ. He stands on truth. He stands on everything. Now, you might be a believer and you go contrary to the word, but you come back to the origin stone, the building stone is truth. But if I look at masonry and I come back to it, does it stand on truth? Does it stand on truth? Don't forget about all the good that we've been doing in the community, whatever. Does it stand on truth? Why do I have to have certain things done to me or rope around my neck or certain things? How that is godly? Does that stand on truth? So when truth presents itself, are we still holding on to that? Are we making excuses for that? Or we should just say, don't deal with that. Get out of it. Not be a part, not be the light in this when the foundation is already corrupted. Because in Mark 3:24 tell us that a divided nation, a divided group, a divided world is corrupted. If you my brother, it don't matter if you're white or black, we should have communion. But in this foundation, we go through the same rituals, the same stuff is being done to us. But just because you're clandestine, just because you're a light-skinned brother, and I'm a darker you, although we go through the same thing, we don't acknowledge each other. So that let me know the foundation is cracked. We could sit up here and we could play these games and talk about all this stuff and the good, the foundation is cracked. So if you ask me when, how I feel about that, I would tell you, my brother, don't get in it. Because the foundation and the principles is divided.
And you know, Wayne, to just kind of put what Brother Wayne, I completely agree with what Brother Wayne said, but I would also say this. You also got to be careful not to contradict the second commandment. Because if, by chance, when you do the research on your own organization, if you feel like you can't do the, let me say this first. If you do the research on your organization and you find any ties to false deities, you are in direct conflict with God. Amen. Because you're accepting something else. If it is a form, notice I said if, right? Like I haven't gone through every single one. But the ones I've gone through, I've yet to find one that did not have a direct connection. So it's not a chastisement because some of these organizations, hey, there may not be any kind of connection to anything, whatever. That's cool. That's amazing. But if it is, as believers, if we put Christ first, at least take the time to go research and look at what you made a vow to. Because God doesn't take vows lightly. Look at what happened to Jephthah when he wanted to win the war against the Ammonites. He made a vow to God, I'll give you the first thing that comes through my house door. And what was the first thing that came through his house door? His daughter. He said, I sacrifice whatever comes first. That's right. That's how serious God takes oaths. He doesn't play about this, right? That's why Christ chastised, hey, don't take an oath seriously. And if you're going to take an oath, you better take it to the Lord. And if you take it to the Lord, don't play around with it, right? We got people in here that we know who have taken oaths, who still hold by those oaths. I ain't gonna call people out. I'll let anybody else, let them call themselves out. They hold by those oaths to this day. So what I say to, what I would say to everybody as we kind of get ready to close, because we're running out of time, is number one, pay attention to what vows and oaths you're willing to take. If you are a part of any organization, it doesn't have to just be a Greek one, go look at the foundation of what that is. What Finley did, when it says the gods of Alpha Phi Alpha, and somebody automatically says, oh, we'll take that out. Well, hold on, wait a minute. I got to know something. You said gods, plural. I need to know, what are we connected to? What am I connected to? When I did that dance, what did that dance really mean? Was that a form of worship to that false deity? When I took this oath and I said these things, did I commit myself to this false deity? And then, now that I've seen the truth, who am I going to put first, like Brother Wayne said? And that's a decision, like Pastor said, everybody got to make for themselves. If somebody decides not to leave their fraternity or sorority, that's cool. Like, I promise you, and I don't want to say I promise because I'm not supposed to. On Sunday, my yes, my yay, my yay. I'm going to hug you on Sunday just like I would on the way out of here. But we all have to make those decisions to make sure we don't put ourselves in direct conflict with our Father. And that's the purpose of conversations like this. Because as Christians, we far too often put ourselves in the traps without realizing what we're doing. And I'm from New Orleans, right? So seeing voodoo practice and seeing the witch doctors and all that kind of stuff, that's not like a outer realm. Like if I saw one walking down the street right now, I'd be like, oh, that's my childhood, right? Because that's what I was around. I saw that. My parents didn't participate. But I think as believers, we got to be careful about what we do. Because we come to church every first Sunday and we perform the ritual of communion in remembrance of our Savior. And nobody bats an eye about it. But then, and we take it serious. Pastor come up here, two people come up here, somebody reads. But then the same significance is applied to the rituals we take for the organizations that we join. And if we're not careful, we could put ourselves in direct conflict with God. And that was the whole purpose of these conversations. That's why Pastor went into the Freemasonry. That's why we're talking about the fraternities and sororities. Quick definition. For the uses of rituals. Rituals were intended for commitment, inward devotion, and future faithfulness. They were intended to expound upon grace and atonement and community and continuity. And last one I wanted to just give a quick speak on is stronghold. If you right now cannot, in your mind, fathom, go and look at the origins of your group, you need to ask yourself, do I have a spiritual stronghold going on? Because if it fights with you that much, when God is supposed to be first and far ahead, and you can't even go look at the origins of what you've sworn to, you really need to ask, okay, is that the enemy trying to, do I have a spiritual stronghold going on in my heart? And a stronghold is a fortress. It is a deeply entrenched pattern of thinking. That means I'm willing to put it over the word of God. I'm willing to put it over God because this is who I am. We serve turkeys in the community. But I say that jokingly to make it a little lighter because it does hit strong when we take these vows, right? So I'll go ahead and end on that because we're over our time. But any questions or any comments on that before we go, because this is a serious topic.
Go
ahead, Finn. No, I got your Finn, and I see you, sis.
Okay, so when getting on with the foundation that Wayne was talking about, aren't all of us got some crap going on. Let's just be honest with each other, you know. Mm-hmm. And so. All of us got, you know, some past, and at the end of the day, a sin's a sin, you know what I mean? And so, but we all rely on the word of God to get us back on track. And so, my kind of gearing into that is like, what with this topic we have going on now, versus any other, you could say, fill in the blank with XYZ sin. I'm trying to, why is that such a, I'm trying to see what's the two differences if all the foundation, if our own foundation, everybody in here is, you know, kind of cracked and we trying to get on in that to lay that as a foundation for ourselves.
Trying to make sure I understand the question.
So what I'm trying to say is that for me being an alpha man, and you being regular Will, you get let's just say you have a sin of cussing, whatever, okay? And so what if both of those are sins, this is what we're talking about here. Well, both our foundations have some issues. What's the issue of both of us both leaning on the Word of God and working on it from there? Is there an issue with that? Because that's what it sounded like to me. You know, sound like this, like we're both leaning towards the Word of God to get us on the right track.
Right. It's not a call out to say, oh, you're doing evil or you're doing wrong or those kind of things. It's literally to say, okay, let's lean on the Word of God to tell us the truth. But then when the Word of God tells us what the Word tells us, accept it. Right? Like accept it like that. I mean, that's just like the responsibility of ministers in a sense, right? We're supposed to deliver the Word. So as God puts it in your spirit to look at this group, if he says, yo, this ain't it for you, fam. You know, let that thing go. You know what I'm saying? And I think we all kind of get put in those positions, right? But we all have to evaluate that for ourselves at a certain point to see, like, hey, what is this? But it's the same thing. Like, I don't separate it any different from sin in the sense that if that is a sin or if it is contradicting, I got to let that ride. It just is what it is, right? Like, but at the same breath, if God doesn't put it in my spirit that's a problem, then I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of how I look at that. I think I answered your question with that. But lean on the Word to tell you the truth of what to do with the situation, right? Like it's not nobody, not pastor, myself, or anybody trying to throw darts to say, it's evil. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that. Like, would I do it? Nah. Would I advise somebody to do it? Nah. But if God tells you it's okay, rock with it. You know what I mean? My sis.
Okay. I love that we're learning this topic, and I think that this is the main reason why Jesus, like, for they know not what they do, because it's very simply blurred, and the whole time God is, like, saying, just seek me. So I don't think his grace and mercy is so great, I don't think he's going to punish when you're seeking him, and when you find out knowledge, he'll punish you when you don't repent the knowledge that you have and move forward with him. So once again, that's why Jesus came to help us, because it's very quick to get blurred up in this world. That's all.
Amen. Thank you for that, sis. Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, right? That's repentance is available for us, right? But it's like you said, sis, once you got the knowledge, your accountability is on a whole different level with God. And so we all have to remember that for ourselves. Like, okay, I know better. Now will I choose to do better or will I choose to do me? And that's a choice that we all get to make for ourselves, you know? Free will is free for a reason. So after that, I'll go ahead and pass it back over to you, Pastor.
Okay. Any other closing comments before we go to announcements? I want to thank all of you for your time and participation. And with the Lit group, if you guys want to continue this on with Will, y'all can. It's up to y'all. But I hope that we did at least scratch the surface a little bit and got some people thinking. And looking into the things that we join and we're part of. Amen? Okay, some announcements. But again, put that back up there. You know, one of y'all very, very famous entertainers had that on one time for she was doing a thing. And I guarantee you, I ain't going to call her name because I may get sued. But y'all go look her up. Yeah, she had the horns and everything. Had that symbol, and she just, I ain't calling no names. Y'all just go look up. Ask me offline, I'll tell you. But I ain't gonna say it now, because I ain't, just in case, because y'all got a music.
Pastor, so that symbol is satanic, right?
Exactly.
So if that symbol is satanic, and I found out that symbol is satanic, it don't matter if I do good or not.
know that foundation is wrong. It's tainted. I need to leave that. So I just wanted to make that clear. So nobody don't leave out of here. Well, that's just me.
Yeah. That little upside down pentagram is a problem. That is a real problem because, again, okay, look it up. That's a Masonic symbol there. Yeah, the G is God of geometry. Masons, yeah, Mason. And I think the Eastern Stars use that one too sometimes. I don't know if they put that little goat head in it, but I done seen it on some of them cars. Around there. So if you're an Eastern Star, you need to go check that out. Make sure you ain't sacrificed some goats. and you riding around with your car, you represent the D. You know, you don't do that. Because just check it out. I ain't telling you to do what you do, but I'm just saying, symbols mean something, I'm telling you. You know, and I think Adrian or Kim Wanda or somebody was, you know, people create stuff, man, and we just jump on don't understand. Because I didn't know. Adrian, was you talking about Tommy Hilfiger? What his name was, when we got caught up in all his stuff, and we loved his jeans and his stuff and stuff and put it on. And then the dude said, man, if I had known all them black and brown folk gonna like my stuff. Yeah. Oh, that Will said that? Whoever said that? Man, I didn't know the dude felt like that about us like that, man. He ain't wanted to buy his stuff. We were out here making him rich. And the dude didn't even make the stuff for us, and we dabbing it down like, yeah. And then another dude said, man, y'all wasn't even on my mind when y'all made that. Y'all weren't worthy to put my stuff on. And we walk around, ooh, look, I got a Tommy on. I hope he out of business now, because I don't see too much of it. But he's still in business. Okay, don't y'all go down and buy no more of his stuff since he done said that.